You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It's been a different offseason already for the Cardinals, given that they didn't advance to the postseason for the first time since 2010. But that also gave the Cardinals an opportunity to use the month of October to really figure out what their offseason priorities were going to be. And it starts, number one, with finding a defensive upgrade in center field. The Cardinals, one of the worst teams defensively in the majors this year, have really identified that as the area in which they need to improve most this offseason, and feel that by finding a center fielder to strengthen the defense up the middle, perhaps that would then allow for Randall Grichuk to slide over to left field, where he might profile above average defensively. So as the Cardinals enter the offseason, they're looking to upgrade there. They would like to add some athleticism into this lineup. This is an offense this year that, though it hit a ton of home runs, second most in franchise history, very slow, a few stolen bases, poor base running, poor judgment on the base pass, and that's another area in which the Cardinals hope, perhaps through the free agent market or the trade market, that they can address this season. And thirdly on that wish list is to add some bullpen help, and this was an area that the Cardinals actually didn't think they would need much relief in, no pun intended, of course. But with Zach Duke needing Tommy John surgery earlier in October, the Cardinals now would like to complement Kevin Seegers with another setup option. So they will be jumping into the relief market as well. Already a little bit of news recently in that the Cardinals officially declined their options on Matt Holliday and on Jordan Wald. And conversely, they did exercise their option on Jaime Garcia. A little bit perhaps of a surprising decision in that Garcia is coming off the worst year of his career. It was a healthy year, which for him is a big step forward given his recent history. But the Cardinals exercised that option, $12 million, bring back Jaime Garcia for 2017, which really allows them the flexibility to deal a starting pitcher this offseason if they feel like they need to in order to address another need. Whether that's flipping Garcia somewhere, that's certainly an option, or perhaps trading another pitcher from their rotation. They didn't want to give up that rotation depth, so they got him back. The qualifying offers, none are going to be coming from the Cardinals. Brandon Moss, the Cardinals had considered him as a candidate for the qualifying offer. However, his historic slump to end the season over the last 6 weeks really took that off the table, so he becomes a free agent. So if you look at where the Cardinals go moving forward, you know, the biggest loss in terms of free agents now leaving the organization is probably Matt Holliday, which opens that hole in left field. Brandon Moss not coming back only augments that. And that, again, is a hole that the Cardinals believe that Randall Grichuk can fill, assuming that the team is able to find a center fielder, which could be challenging as it's not a very deep market for outfielders. I think Dexter Fowler probably tops the list in terms of potential fits in center field for the Cardinals, though the Cardinals have to weigh if he'd be enough of a defensive upgrade to really fit what they're looking for. If that isn't the fit they want, or if they can't work that out, then they'll probably pivot to the trade market, perhaps look at somebody like a Charlie Blackmon, an A.J. Pollock, a Kevin Kiermaier. If any of these players are available, the Cardinals expect to be aggressive, again, to try to upgrade defensively in the outfield.
I think Andrew McCutchen's future is probably the most interesting topic hanging over the entire Pirates offseason. He might not be the best fit in center field anymore, given Starling Marte's range and potential for a second gold glove coming up this offseason. And his bat was a significant downgrade last season compared to where he was as a perennial MVP contender in the, you know, the years before that. So there are a lot of questions facing McCutchen. The Pirates, if they were going to part ways with him, which would be a very significant decision for them to make, given all that he's meant for the franchise, for the city, for the organization. They would have some pieces that could potentially fill his spot, especially in center field with Marte, in the lineup with somebody like Josh Bell, and getting another full year from Jung Ho Kang would certainly go a long way toward that. And then his long-term replacement in the outfield would probably be top prospect Austin Meadows. But then again, the Pirates do have to weigh whether or not they're better off trading McCutchen, or if they're best path back to the postseason would be with a healthy and productive McCutchen in the middle of their lineup and back in center field, where he has been the last several years. Yeah, I think the most important thing for the Pirates rotation heading forward is going to be a healthy Gerrit Cole. He showed what he can do when he is fully healthy and prepared and able to go about his season on a regular routine in 2015, when he was one of the best starters in the National League and finished fourth in the Cy Young voting. Last year was just all about injuries and inconsistency from Cole, really from the time he reported to spring training, when he was suffering from rib inflammation, and then the injuries just kind of piled up from there. their hope has to be right now that he goes to the offseason healthy, rested, and comes back ready to go in spring training. The big question for the Pirates' rotation next year, and it's something they'll probably have to address this offseason, is who's going to fill that number three spot that was filled so well by Ivan Nova in the second half after coming over from the Yankees in a trade deadline deal. Nova pitched very well. He reminded a lot of people of Jay Happ, who also came to the Pirates in the 2015 trade deadline and signed with the Blue Jays as a free agent. So it's a looming question over the Pirates right now. Will history repeat itself with Nova coming over to trade deadline deal, pitching so well, and then leaving in free agency?
The Brewers are into their second offseason under general manager David Stearns, and I think what's going to be notable is how much more quiet it is than the first. Stearns himself had said there's no way for the team to maintain the sort of pace of acquisitions that they had last winter in his first season at the helm. Remember, it was 3 days after he formally took over the job that he made his first waiver claim. That turned out to be Junior Guerra, a starting pitcher who was their club or their pitching MVP, really was solid atop that rotation. One of his first trades netted Jonathan Villar, who began the year at shortstop, led the major leagues in steals, and played himself into the plans for this team. His first and only major league free agent signing last winter was Chris Carter. He wound up tying for the National League lead with 41 home runs. So David Stearns was very busy early last winter as he was just taking over. There's just no possible way he's going to maintain that sort of a pace this offseason. So he'll look to tweak the core that he already has in place. And I think when you look at where this team could add as this winter begins, third base is a question mark. If they move Jonathan Villar to second base, where many in the organization feel his skills are best used, that would leave an opening at third, and they have a couple of in-house options, but nobody that really jumps out as an everyday third baseman. The list of free agents begins with Justin Turner. I don't think we're going to see the Brewers in play for Justin Turner, so it's more likely to be a guy on a shorter-term deal, a lesser deal. And then I think catcher is an area where they will potentially look to add. They traded Jonathan Lucroy to the Rangers late last season. Martin Maldonado has been a very capable backup for this team for a number of years. But will he hit enough to play the position every day? I'm not certain about that. And I think that's an area the Brewers will look at, free agency, for example. There's a Jason Castro out there, a guy who played in Houston with David Stearns. When Stearns was there, some familiarity, and we've seen lots of examples. I already mentioned two of them in VR and Carter, of former Astros finding a home in Milwaukee. So there are moves to be made for this team. Not certain that they're going to be big blockbuster moves, but I'll throw one exception out there. Will this team trade Ryan Braun? That's going to be the biggest question for this offseason. David Stearns and before him Doug Melvin have traded away a ton of established major league players. Ryan Braun would be the logical next step. They came close to dealing him to the Dodgers, most notably. The Braves were involved in those talks as well over the summer. There are teams that are interested in Ryan Braun. He is a very good player when he's healthy. He is signed to a contract through at least 2020, so there's some cost certainty involved there, and I think there is a market for that. So whether Ryan Braun gets traded will dictate a lot of the other moves that this Brewers team makes. If he goes, that's a three-hole hitter and a starting left fielder that you've got to fill elsewhere, and David Stearns would look to do that on the market. So I think an interesting winter ahead for this Brewers team, but nowhere near as busy as last winter.
This offseason marks the first where general manager Dick Williams is in charge of baseball operations after president of baseball operations Walt Jocketty moved into an advisory role. Williams kind of has his hands full for a few reasons because he's got a few moves he needs to make in order to make the Reds more competitive in 2017. The primary area of focus for Williams and the Reds will be on the bullpen, which was one of the weakest parts of the club last year because of several walks and home runs allowed. After the bullpen endured a rough season where they allowed a lot of walks and home runs, Dick Williams will be looking to make some upgrades. They already have Raisel Iglesias and Michael Lorenzen as potential pieces that can throw multiple innings. It hasn't been determined yet if they're going to be in the bullpen or maybe possibly as starters, so that could affect the search this winter. What the Reds will be looking for are relievers capable of throwing multiple innings in multiple situations. They're not going to be swimming in the high end of the free agent market. They're more likely to be looking for middle to lower end price ranges and see what they can do. They also are aware of the fact that after this postseason, where teams like the Dodgers, the Indians, and world champion Cubs use their relievers, especially their closers, in creative ways, that the the rush for the reliever market might be more intense than it has been in past offseasons. Another area of focus for the Reds will be upgrading their bench. It was one of their weaker parts as well offensively last season. They did not have a lot of punch in the late innings in terms of a power-type hitter that could supplement their regular lineup. I would expect them to be looking again for complementary pieces on the low end of the market. They don't really have a lot of pieces. They also could be looking for catching depth. Devin Mesoraco is expected to come back from two major surgeries and has three major surgeries in the last 2 years, but is not a sure thing to be ready for spring training. Tucker Barnhart is believed to be more than capable to handle everyday duty, but they wouldn't mind having some depth, especially a catcher that could play multiple positions. One area to possibly look at on the trade market is what the Reds might do in the middle infield. They have shortstop Zach Cozart, who's a year away from free agency, and they have longtime second baseman Brandon Phillips, who is in the final year of his six-year contract. Phillips has a full no-trade clause and is and turned down trades last winter, but the Reds would like to see if they can find some takers possibly for the middle infielders, because they have Jose Peraza and Dilson Herrera respectively at shortstop and second base that could come up and take those spots at a much cheaper price.
One of the coolest things that I've seen since the Cubs won the World Series was what's going on around Wrigley Field with the fans. They are taking advantage of the really nice weather that we've been having in Chicago, but two, they're families are out and they're writing messages in chalk on the brick walls along Waveland and Sheffield Avenues. And it's just, Joe Maddon likes to talk about how he likes things that are sort of organic and just happen. And this is the perfect example. People just somehow, someone started this where they just wrote messages about just celebrating the Cubs win, sort of RIP to some people that are not here that weren't able to be here for this. Just congratulations, just leaving their name. It's really emotional to go over and look at it. I mean, it's amazing how much of the wall they've covered too. And it's just nice that the Cubs are letting them do that. I've seen people taping pictures of loved ones on the wall as well. That to me is an amazing experience. I know that, you know, the game is the focus here, but what this World Series meant to the fans just is just overwhelming. Perfect example of that was how many people turned out for the parade, which was nuts on Friday in Chicago. I was in front of the stage, so couldn't for the parade and couldn't really get a feel for the size of the crowd until you could hear them, but you couldn't really get a feel for it until you were trying to move to get from one place to another. It was pretty overwhelming. But I think the players were blown away. It was nice to see all their comments on Twitter about this. And again, it was nice for the weather to cooperate because it was just a perfect day for this. But I was just downtown Monday in Chicago, and people are still decked out in their Cubby blue. Nearly everyone's wearing a Cubs hat. There are W flags all over the place. And it's just a really nice vibe, a really nice atmosphere. Of course, now, what's next? You know, the Cubs have a few free agents that they have to try and decide what to do with. Dexter Fowler is a free agent, or Aldous Chapman, Travis Wood, Joe Smith, Chris Coughlin, Trevor Cahill, Muninori Kawasaki, and also they decided not to pick up the option on Jason Hamill. The Hamill situation was not really a surprise. He had a $12 million option for next year. I think the Cubs are hoping that they can find either insert Mike Montgomery into that spot in the rotation, or maybe there's someone else in the minors that could come up, or maybe acquire someone through trade. So that's something that they'll have to work on for the offseason. Arbitration-wise, Jake Arrieta, Pedro Strop, Hector Rondon, and Justin Grimm are all arbitration eligible. So those will be interesting to see how they're resolved. I would guess Arrieta might be the only tricky one, but that's still a ways off. If the Cubs do not bring Chapman back, that means that either A, they're going to count on Hector Rondon again as a closer, although he had a really rough second half, which is one of the reasons they went out to get Chapman, or they'll try and maneuver somehow to look in another direction for the closer. I don't, you know, C.J. Edwards, as young as he is, really showed me something in Game 7 of the World Series and how he was very calm and able to settle down. Who knows? He could be the closer for all I know. That's another issue to be discussed. Dexter Fowler apparently is going to test the free agent market, and that would leave a big gap at the top of the Cubs order and also in center field. But they really like rookie Albert Almora Jr., and he could step in center field defensively. I'm not sure if he's the right guy to have at the top of the lineup, but could be worked on. So that's another topic that they kind of have to look at during the offseason.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.